Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Sarah.
Elizabeth.
Do you know what's ridiculous?
I do.
Yeah, go for it.
Do you have a second?
Always.
I'd love to share it with you.
Thank you.
Okay. You ever injured yourself taking a selfie?
No, I've not.
Okay. Did you know that's very common now?
Injuring yourself taking a selfie?
Yes. Very, very common. 1 in 10 people have injured themselves taking a selfie.
Now, is this hurting their arms or their muscles, or is this falling over?
All of their musculature as well as their bones.
Interesting.
Anything is at risk with a selfie. In fact, did you know it is more dangerous for a human being to take a selfie than to go swimming with sharks?
Oh, you're kidding me.
More people die each year from taking selfies than from shark attacks.
They die? Are they impaled on selfie sticks?
No, people just, they trip, they fall over cliffs.
Saren, that's horrible.
I know, I shouldn't be laughing.
No, don't laugh.
But I'm
at
rooting
these.
For the sharks.
Yeah, me too.
Because hopefully fewer sharks will be killed this way, because people are like, oh, we don't need to be afraid
that's
of sharks.
A very good point.
We should start killing phones.
I like that.
Hunting down and killing
that's really
phones.
Good. Saren.
Yes, Elizabeth.
Do you want to know what else is ridiculous?
I'm here for it.
Putting a fish in a fish to win a boat. This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous.
You damn right.
Yes, it is. Could you imagine if we did the whole show?
In NPR voices?
In NPR voices.
I think that would be very refreshing for some people.
I think I could do it. I'm not sure about you.
I might go to sleep, though, talking.
Oh, I definitely would. Are you a competitive person, Zane?
Yes. No, I come from a competitive family. I'm a very competitive person. I like to think that I'm not one of those mean competitive people, because mm-hmm. I'm not competing against other people. I'm only ever competing with myself.
Sure.
I was taught
sure.
that at a young age, and that stuck with me, but I will get very mad at myself for losing. So
right.
it can be unpleasant to watch me lose, but I'm not mean about it. I'm really upset.
I like to say that I'm not competitive.
Yes, but you are.
Well, it's kind of like how I say I don't watch TV.
Yes, but
I don't watch TV shows like the smash hit 911,
no, never.
Which has moved from Fox to ABC. And if I watch TV, I'm not sure how I'd feel about
it. Are you happy about that? If you
I don't know if there's going to be meddling from the mouse house. I mean, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Anyway.
Yes.
I say I'm not competitive.
No.
It's almost true.
No, it's not.
I'm not competitive with like people in the workplace or like other writers. Writers are competitive with
God,
each other.
Yes.
And petty.
Yes.
And I'm not, I'm happy for everyone whenever anything good happens. Like,
I used
I'm
to
not,
be an actor and I thought they would be really competitive. Writers are so much more
worst.
Competitive
oh
and
God.
Petty and also undermining. They do a lot
yes.
of stuff with like campaigns to.
Yes, yes.
You know,
and so
horrible.
That's why I kind of like, I've narrowed it down where I don't really interact with a lot of writers.
true writer behavior. Terrible. You realize terrible. The lesson of writing.
I'm not like socially competitive, like about status stuff. Like, oh, yes. I want everyone to see what kind of car I drive or without, who cares.
So whatever. Like, I shouldn't tell people about this fur coat you're wearing?
Shut up.
What is that,
I
mink?
I am, though, competitive when it comes to things like trivia.
Yeah, you are.
I'm a beast in trivia. Like, I become a whole nother person. Or games like Rummy Cube or Bananagrams.
I've seen you play bar trivia where you made a whole table cry. So, and that family looked at me like, are you going to stop her? And I was like, look, go back to Utah.
It brings out the best and the worst in me.
Yes, it does.
Because, like, I do really well in various categories, like, especially if there's word puzzles. I used to go to this one where they had handouts. And I bet you killed it. Oh, God, I got in the zone. And then that I'm viciously competitive. Mm-hmm. My trivia team is called Steve Harvey Oswald. You're on my trivia
yeah,
team,
it's a
as
great
you know.
Name.
My brother's on the team. Now, he is not competitive.
No, he is not, but fun.
I make up for it.
He gets a little competitive, though, once you start winning. He
yeah,
doesn't want
that
to
is
lose
true.
Once you're winning.
That is true, yeah. And he does. He wants to hang on to
it. He wants to know
it.
How we're doing.
I become another person. It's
yes.
totally wild. I'm a true believer in obeying the rules to an extent.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, I won't check my phone for answers.
No. Not like that kind of cheating.
But I do like to do little tricks.
Such as?
That throw up. Okay. So, like, I like to pretend that I'm new to pub trivia.
Mm-hmm.
And then I loudly whisper supposed answers to my teammates.
Oh, yes.
And then I get all excited. They're in on it. Mm-hmm. And so, and I'm like, oh, I know the answer. And they tell me to keep it down, that the other teams are going to hear me saying the right answer. And it's intentionally wrong, but like feasible.
So this is a pantomime you're pulling where
it's,
you go.
It's a long con.
Yeah, you act like, oh, this is. It's Bulgaria,
yeah,
guys.
And they're like, shh, stop. Everyone's going to hear you. And I'm like, but I know it. And then people are like, oh, crap, Bulgaria.
Right down Bulgaria.
And like, so Travi, my brother, he's not competitive. But like you were saying, like when it gets down to the wire.
Mm-hmm.
He and I had an incident where we brushed up against cheating.
Ooh, what did that feel
we
like?
We were in a sudden death tiebreaker during a trivia night on a Mexican Riviera cruise.
Okay. I won't ask.
Don't
Go
ask.
On.
So there we are off the coast of Puerto Vallarta.
There we are.
Winning our fourth straight trivia night on the boat. Uh-huh. Everyone hated us.
Oh, I bet they did.
Because we'd come in and just dust them.
Fourth straight. Oh, yeah. They hated you.
I don't remember what the question was. I don't remember what the answer was. But like we wrote it.
You were
on
in the zone.
Yeah, I was totally in the zone. Auto zone. So we wrote it down on a piece of paper and like showed it to the host.
Mm-hmm.
He looks and he goes over, walks over and looks at the other team's sheet. And like, we may have heard a team that had been eliminated mention the answer after we wrote ours down.
After.
And then, like, we may have quickly changed the answer on our paper.
Re-corrected.
And then the judge may have forgotten our answer and then come back over to take a look.
Ah.
Yeah. And we may have won the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, that's cheating.
Yeah, that's totally cheating.
That's totally cheating.
But it was high stakes, Zarin. It was high stakes.
You wanted to get that fifth win?
Well, no, do you know what the grand prize was?
No, what was it?
Luggage tags.
It wasn't even luggage.
No,
it was
luggage
tags.
My aunt was appalled by our lack of integrity.
I'm with your aunt.
She called them the luggage tags of shame.
Good
and
for
like,
her.
You know, because since my love language is shame and guilt, that's how my behaviors are motivated. I felt terrible.
I bet you did.
I wound up like taking the tags and just setting them on a bar in the Lido deck and walking away.
Oh, I thought you were going to like throw them into the sea and like never look back.
That's pollution, Zarin.
Okay, sorry.
On a boat, like on a cruise ship, you're worried about like destroying the oceans. Hello. I couldn't live with my little scam. Others, though, the ones who wind up here, me talking about them, they went all in.
Oh, you got
people.
Some cheaters for me?
Yeah, I have for you today some competition scandals.
Nice.
So it's not like cycling doping or fixing college basketball
Lance.
Games.
Lance!
Nope.
Okay.
We're not living strong right now. these are as inane as cheating at trivia to win luggage tags.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Like, I still Small carry gains. That guilt. I will never do such a thing ever again.
I'm going to, every single time I see a luggage tag from now on out.
It was totally
like,
out of character.
Do you want these?
It was not like me. That wasn't me.
What are you willing to do to get these luggage tags? What would you do for a luggage
tag?
But
see, that's what out-of-control competition does to a gal.
Yes, I know.
I think humans can't help but make things competitive.
Yeah.
You know, baking, pottery. Look, we have all these TV
We're
shows
social
about
animals.
It, trivia. You know what I love more than trivia competitions, though?
Baking shows.
Bears.
Oh, it was close. It was a bee.
It was a bee. I love bears.
You do love bears.
I really do. I want to hug a bear.
I come into HQ sometimes, and you're just sitting there watching those videos you watch where they're sitting at the streams.
The Katmai Bear Camp.
There you go.
So
that's what it is.
So Katmai National Park in southern Alaska, they have this bear camp. There are volcanoes in this park, salmon, most importantly, tons of brown bears.
Hmm.
So cute. I want to go there someday and see them in person.
Go. Hug a bear.
That. Yeah. So like in the summer, they have these decks that look over the river and the bears come out and they loll around. They gorge on salmon. You can watch it on the bear cam.
Sure.
As
I've,
I do.
I've looked over your shoulder.
Yeah. So you see like mamas teaching their cubs to grab fish and like big papas just parking their rumps in the river rapids, shoving it all in their
cool
face.
Cool that undercarriage.
Oh my God. They're so cute. So anyway, Katmai, they've capitalized on this love of bears because I'm not alone, Zarin.
No, I know. There are many of you.
And they hold something called Fat Bear Week.
Wow. Yeah. I've heard of this. Is it good? I've never
October.
Really.
October.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So in October, the brown bears at Katmai, they've been like prepping for winter hibernation by just gorging themselves on salmon.
Of course.
They increase their body weight by like 50%.
Yeah.
They eat 90 pounds of food a day.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. So the rangers, they have all the bears, you know, tagged, numbered. And like the naturalists and the rangers at the park, they take note of the physical state of the bears. And so they decided, like, let's get everyone in on this. So they teamed up with explore.org. That's the organization that does the bear cam.
Okay.
And they let people cast online votes in kind of like a March Madness style bracket.
Oh, okay.
To determine the bear that has like most effectively and impressively plumped up.
Oh, the real, like, that's a real unit.
Who's the big boss?
Yeah,
so
okay.
In 2023, AP News called the competition, quote, Alaska's most watched popularity contest.
Yes.
So it started, they started this up back in 2014.
This is the reality TV I could watch.
Yes, exactly.
Bears gaining mass.
Exactly. So 2014, it starts up. Every year, it just gets more and more popular. Katmai Park Rangers, they pick 12 bears out of all of them. They post two photos of the animals, one taken in mid-July and the other one taken in early September.
These are our baseline photos, if
you
will.
Yeah, so it's like a before and after.
Sure.
In 2022, Fat Bear Week was rocked by scandal.
How?
Well,
one of the bears was cheating?
No. Organizers.
Eating bear performance-enhancing salmon?
The ballot had been stuffed. The ballot box stuffed, like the bears.
With salmon.
In favor of a brown bear called Holly.
Oh, the voters. Of course, the humans are the cheaters.
Humans. Yeah, Zarin, the bears keep wouldn't up. Do that. So Holly's government name is Bear 435.
Okay.
And she was dusting Bear 747 in the semifinals.
747. Wow. Okay.
But the numbers seemed hinky to the park rangers.
What was Homegirl's first numbers?
435.
435. Okay. Yeah. 435 and 747.
Yeah. So it turns out Holly, 435, she jumped ahead in the votes. Because 9,000 votes came in, like, pretty much all at the same time for her. Candace Rush of Explore.org, she told NPR, quote, while not unheard of, it is very uncommon for a bear to come back late in the day like that. We ended up finding just over 9,000 spam votes.
Wow.
So someone just used bots, right? The park, the National Park, tweeted, quote, like bears stuff their face with fish, our ballot box, too, has been stuffed.
They practiced that one.
Oh, my God. They were
Can you imagine
so,
they wrote it? They erased
were
it. Let's
so
try it again.
Delighted yes. with it. Oh, my gosh. Quote.
They're going to put that on a tote bag.
It appears someone has decided to spam the Fat Bear Week poll. But fortunately, it is easy for us to tell which votes are fraudulent. We have discarded the fake votes. And today's official totals are for 747, 32,940 votes. For 435, 30,430 votes.
Okay.
So she lost by like, you know, 7,000.
That was the final vote.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
not
wow.
for the all, that's
just
for
that
the semifinals.
Just for the, okay, yeah.
That's for the semifinals. So the organizers, they have a Slack channel that they use to discuss the event. This is like a chat function,
course,
basically.
Yeah,
So the messages were released by the National Park Service under a Freedom of Information Act.
Oh my God. Ken Klippenstein got on them?
He totally did. Quote, maybe we shouldn't call a vote tonight. I mean, we can't really honor the cheating. This is the discussion going
this
on in
amazing.
The Slack channel. When the numbers showed that 747 had like whooped Holly, the organizers are amazed. Quote, Damn, that is a wide margin. Wider than 747's rear.
This is in the Slack?
This is in the Slack that they're just
so
like...
So they're always like this.
Oh, completely.
It's like, I got a pun for
completely.
You.
Completely. Amber Kraft, who is the Interpretation and Education Program Manager at Katmai, she wrote, quote, "If we say that it was spammed, will that be what reporters are asking about instead of staying on the interpretive message?"
Oh, she's like, let's stay on message, people.
She's like, it's all about the bears, guys.
Come on, let's talk about big booty bears.
What she, the juicy booties she was afraid of happened. CNN, Jezebel, Rolling Stone, Bloomberg News, ABC News, NPR, they all reach out.
All the usual suspects.
They want to talk about, you know, the chicanery. So Kraft, she wants to keep things on message, so she released the following statement. Quote, "The important thing to remember, however, is that despite which bear wins the most votes in the Fat Bear Week competition, they are all winners. Bears get fat to survive, and the health of Katmai's ecosystem, as demonstrated by the sustained run of salmon, clean water, and thriving flora and fauna, enables their survival." So everyone's like, this is such a funny story. And she's like,
let me throw a blanket on all the fun. Yay!
So why? Why would someone do this?
I'd like to talk about a healthy ecology. Can we talk for a moment?
Well, I'm glad she kept it upbeat, too.
No, it's true.
So why? Why would someone do this?
Because they love a thick bear.
Well, one of the staffers thought, quote, in the Slack, puts this out there, "Is it mean of me to wish the spammer had a lot of money riding on 435?
Oh my God, there's bear betting?
I don't know.
Like you go into an Irish pub and you can bet on a, like, I don't know.
I bet you could
The
somewhere.
English were betting on
they
this,
They will bet
no
on
doubt.
Anything, God bless. Quote, "Well, y'all, you've made it. The weird corners of the internet tried to rig the election." That's another Slack quote. And it's a big election. The entire contest pulls in more than 1 million votes.
Okay. Is that a million unique votes?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But come on, make it sound impressive.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
Quote, "As long as we find a way to bring it back to the bears, I'm going to count it as a win,"
now,
said one
ever,
Slack user.
Have you ever voted in this?
Of course I have, Zayn.
Now, do you vote every day?
I don't remember.
Do you
I didn't vote this last time.
Okay, now would you like want to go and like vote multiple times?
No, you don't vote multiple times.
You just get like
per each round. I'll vote one for the semifinals, one, you know, for
yeah,
each
but
bracket.
But you're not going through your various online personas. Like, oh, I also want to, I'll go this way through.
Okay. No, don't
I'll use
ideas.
My work account and then... Just wondering.
Well, so they uncover all this ballot stuffing, and then the organizers, they reviewed the other matches for possible signs of tampering.
Sure.
And like a Dominion voting machine audit, yes. It was discovered that the outcomes were on the up and up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that meant that Otis and Chunk, who were ousted midway through the contest.
My man Otis!
They lost on their own merit or lack thereof.
Oh, Otis.
Yeah. And going forward, the competition now includes a CAPTCHA test to prevent bot interference.
Okay.
So you have to be able to tell the computer like where the stoplight, which pictures have a stoplight or a motorcycle or crosswalk. As a human, I can tell you that's not easy. Like, I can't tell this
I like that fat bears and, like, shoe beasts have to go through the same thing.
We
need
thing.
To get rid of the bots because
exactly.
they're ruining it for everybody.
Exactly. So, like, you know, back to the competition.
Sure.
Voters have more than just the before and after pictures to help in their decisions.
They have centerfolds?
they
do, like, bear fans, only bears?
Only bears.
What are we talking here, Elizabeth?
No, they give little bios.
Oh, okay.
Holly was first identified by park officials in 2001, and her coat is described as, quote, toasted marshmallow in color.
Oh.
She's raised several litters of kids. She's a hardworking mom.
Toasted marshmallow is an interesting choice because
there's a broad spectrum.
It's a broad spectrum. And to me, toasted marshmallow is closer to the black end because I like things burnt, right?
You do like things
And I imagine
burnt.
To you, it's more like the coffee end where it's like, oh, I put a little cream in my coffee. So for both
she's
of us,
my toasted
we can't picture
well,
the bear.
Well, she's sort of blonde-eared too. Her ears, she's not uniform color. Like her ears are a little bit lighter.
Sorry, the former house painter in me is getting upset at the non-specific use of color.
Oh,
sorry, I will.
So
I'll back down.
She's a hardworking mom.
Sure.
She is such a hardworking mom. In 2014, she took on an orphan cub and raised
the
cub.
Oh, single mom with an orphan cub.
She deserves to win.
Oh, she's...
She's a champion.
She's a classy bear.
She did win. She won Fat Bear Week 2019.
Oh.
And that one, she won fair and square.
She's a thick queen that year.
She was. Bear 747. She's a real baddie. Bear 747, he doesn't have a street name.
Oh.
Or a river name, I guess you would say.
They just call him Mike?
He's just 747, what? Like a Travolta hobby.
Oh, okay. That is his number.
He's just Bear 747. They didn't give him a little
They didn't
name.
Give him like a little Holly. And
nope.
Just, oh, okay.
What's he like? Well.
We should call him Sully. 747?
Oh, my God. You need to get a job up there. You'd fit right in.
I want to do that and name paints. These are the things I want as jobs. Giving bears names.
So, Sully. Sorry, go on. Sully, 747. Uh-huh. He's a, quote, skilled and efficient angler who is found fishing most often in the jacuzzi or near the far pool of Brooks Falls.
Jacuzzi fishing?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
He's the most dominant bear.
Okay.
And he was the 2020 Fat Bear Week champion. Do you know how much he weighs?
I don't know, 1,800 pounds.
1,400 pounds.
Oh.
He's one of the largest brown bears on earth.
Yeah. I was a little thrown off because of grizzlies I know better. So my numbers are off.
So there's the voting scandal. Yes. There was a recount. They eliminated Hanging Chads.
Okay.
When the dust settled, 747.
They should name a bear Gore and another one Bush and just let it have
just
fun
let
with it,
it. Let it run.
Let's do a classic. Come on, guys. Throwbacks.
So 747
okay,
wins.
Okay, sorry, yes.
He won the semifinals. He still had to go to the finals.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And it was there that he faced Bear 901.
901.
A, quote, medium, small, yet quickly growing adult female.
Oh, grower, not a shower.
She's a young gal, 6.5 years old. Uh-huh. They lived to be about 25 years old.
I was wondering. Okay, 25.
And so 901, maybe, you know, young, but mm-hmm. she's like down to knuck if you buck. If someone comes and like tries to get into her fishing spot.
Okay.
She's super defensive. She's like locals only in her little fishing
she's
spot.
She's got like ludicrous ideas. So, get like, out the way, move.
Yeah, so he, you know, 747 took it.
Yes.
But like, let's keep our eyes on that upstart 901.
Oh, yeah, over the coming years.
And remember, vote early often.
She's got a lot of competitive years up coming.
Yes. Let's take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to dance on into another competition scandal.
Ow!
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals too. I don't have to worry because Simply Safe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. Simply Safe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying Simply Safe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Zarin.
Hi.
Welcome
Elizabeth.
Back to the Competition Dojo.
Yo, I like what you've done with this place. What color is that? Is that orange? Safety orange?
It's toasted marshmallow.
Okay. Yeah. It's an interesting color for the ceiling.
We heard about Fat Bear Week.
Yes, we did.
The most wonderful time of the year.
I'm into it. So into it. I'm going to pay attention next time.
And like bears frolicking at the Teddy Bears Picnic,
yes,
we now kick and leap into a new scandal landscape. Irish dancing.
Oh, yes. What the Michael Flatley's going on?
It's fantastic. I like when you see grown women like get tipsy and break out into Irish dance with their pals in the middle of the street, like outside a bar in San Francisco.
Now,
seen it and it's delightful.
Yeah, we're talking like top half doesn't move, bottom
correctly,
half is frenetic,
just
little tornado of
kicking
feet.
And a flinging.
Okay.
Yeah.
Craziest technique.
It's so good.
I love it.
And like, the little girls who do Irish dancing have major wig action, by the way. Have you seen it? Oh, like little ringlets.
Okay.
It's insane.
Those are wigs.
I am loving that for them.
Yes.
About it. So Irish dancing, it started out in parish halls. And the Scottish equivalent is the Ceilidh.
Okay, yeah.
And that's super fun. Lots of drums and jumping.
Did this start as like the daughter of drunks would get chains thrown at their feet kind of dancing?
Probably.
So, oh, children of drunks.
Yeah,
I don't mean
like,
to be
know,
just
dancing
girls.
Dancing around,
yeah.
Like, you know, folk music. And like any activity, though, people want to turn it into a competition.
Of course.
So you're not just all getting out there and having a good time dancing.
Yeah, like, how do we turn this into Eurovision?
You have to be a better dancer. It's especially popular with what I will kindly refer to as the Irish diaspora.
Ah.
Like Americans who claim Irish ancestry in an aggressive way.
To Massachusetts.
What I like to unkindly refer to as leprechaun Irish.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's like houses full of shamrocks and stuff like that.
I totally
Celtic
get it.
Celtic knot tattoos.
Yeah, you're talking about your own people. I get it. I'm listening.
Their grandpas, their great-grandpas are from Ireland. This now, by we get to this generation.
Yeah, a lot of nice, cozy sweaters. And
so, you know, yeah, there's like Irish dance is huge in that community. But also there are folks with like no Irish ancestry who get into it. It's a global phenomenon is what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a governing body for Irish dance called a Commission Lorinci Gualacha. I'm saying that completely wrong.
I'm taking your word for it,
though. It's the CLRG, or the Irish Dancing Commission.
You sound like
CLRG.
You know.
CLRG.
Yeah.
So it was established in 1930, and it has members on five continents. And I don't know what two are left out, but I'm guessing it's Antarctica or Africa.
Probably. Those are the likely candidates.
Who knows?
Could be Australia. Maybe they're just like, we don't deal with those
people. Could be Europe.
Oh, could be Europe. That would be wild.
Anyway.
It's like.
So CLRG, they oversee international dance tournaments called Fechina. And they hold these qualifying competitions in the U.S., U.K., Australia. So I guess we have our continents there. They organize Ireland's regional and national championships, as well as the World Irish Dancing Championships.
I was a two-time champion, I know, yes.
In April of 2022, they had that in Belfast. 3,500 dancers showed up for this.
Yeah.
So that's April of 2022.
We were so nervous.
I know you were. In October of 2022, all hell broke loose.
Yes, I wasn't there that year.
No,
I twisted an ankle.
Because like, okay, as you well know, because you're a famous Irish
two-time
dancer.
Two-time champion, yes.
The dance competitions are judged by dance teachers.
Yes.
Which makes sense. But apparently those dance teachers are easily influenced and easily bought.
They're thirsty.
They're
thirsty. Like, there had been a buck and they listen.
Totally. There'd been like whispers of bribes, favors that they would do. And then
land grants.
Someone stepped up, an anonymous whistleblower steps up.
Ooh.
Hands off to the CLRG proof of cheating during the summer of 2022.
Hard proof.
Yeah. It's pretty much all text messages, like screenshots. So the dossier provided to CLRG contained text messages that talked about like how the dance instructors are trying to like lock in high scores for the students from these other teachers.
Okay.
There were even offers of sexual favors between a judge and a teacher in exchange for a high score.
Wow.
Do you want to hear it?
Yes, of course I do. So, you know who I am.
A judge wrote to a teacher, quote, "I didn't wax for no reason," followed by laughing emojis, and then, quote, "half an hour's up."
Wait, what?
I don't know.
What's the half an
hour's
up? I don't
know. So then the teacher answers, "Shave now."
And is that like a clock thing?
I don't know.
How it kept pointing down?
Who
half
knows?
An hour?
The judge replies,
yeah?
Quote, "That was all done before I got here, duh." And then he adds, quote, "No visit, no 100s," and two winking, laughing emojis.
I love that now our evidence has emoji, winking emojis is part of like,
then the teacher
you got
replies.
Busted. And then winking emoji.
The teacher replies to No Visit, No 100s, quote, "Oh God, babe, put the ass in the air. I promise I will be there."
Wow. Uh-huh. And all this with an Irish accent, which, you know, you gotta imagine that as well.
Like in a less raunchy text exchange, a teacher sends all his students' competitor numbers to a judge and then tells the judge where he hopes each dancer is going to land in the results.
Oh.
And the teacher says, "Thanks a million for anything you can do to help." So he's like, "Here are all my students. Go nuts.
I want an 84 for Seamus."
And how does the judge reply?
Siobhan
smiley.
Gets a 98.
Smiley face emoji as a reply.
Sure.
Later, the teacher asks who's going to be judging one of his competitors in an upcoming competition, and he gets the list, and he replies, "Holy duck." That's a haunted by spell check.
Oh, my God.
That is the panel from hell. So I guess he spelled it right that time.
Oh, man.
And then he added, quote, "I actually want to puke."
I do, too.
Me, too. Me, three.
I thought I wanted to hear these, and then
no,
I was so wrong.
Now you get what you ask for.
Then
the teacher writes later to the judge, quote, "Begging if you are on," and with a competitor's name, "to do what you can. XX."
Okay.
So, like, so fix it.
Please make it happen.
The judge replies, "Not a problem."
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're just outright. A teacher on another one says she would, quote, "really appreciate a hand with my good U18, which is under 18.
Yeah, okay.
And the judge goes, "Absolutely, not a problem.
And I'd like a hand with my under 18.
Then the teacher thanks him. Oh, XXX, thank you. Another one, like, the teacher says she has a dancer competing soon. Appreciate anything you can do, she says. Mm-hmm. Judge gives a thumbs up emoji.
And then the
teacher responds with, like, a kiss and a wink. It's just emojis all over
Ghost
the place.
Ghost in a cupcake.
There's a teacher writes to a judge saying she doesn't have her students' competitor numbers, but she does have their names and, like, pictures of them in their full costumes. These are kids, by the way.
Is that for the judge to be able to recognize them?
Yeah, because they, like, don't
like
have,
when you
they're
send
not supposed
pictures
to have the
pictures to a hitman, but you just don't do a judge?
That's exactly how this is. So she's like, "Here are all the pictures of the kids that I want to win all the competitions."
Sure.
The judge replies with a smiley winking emoji.
Hmm.
So, yeah. And maybe they feel like if they don't say it outright, then they can't.
That's what I'm like. This is not, like, legally binding because it was an emoji.
Exactly. There's no court definition of this emoji. Yeah. So a bunch of the parents and the dance instructors, they told the Irish Independent newspaper that the competitive Irish dance community is like the mafia.
I love how that's always the comparison.
There was an American teacher who said that she was afraid to ask one of the crooked judges for just, like, the slightest thing, quote, "because once you do, you're indebted to them for life. It's like the Godfather."
I think the human beings at this point, we have three analogies. Either something is like Hitler, slavery, or the mafia.
Or
like,
Harry Potter.
Or Harry Potter. Like, this is the worst thing. This is, and fill in one of
totally.
Those.
It's exactly. We need to read more.
Yeah.
So the CLRG said in a statement in July the next year that had received the dossier and that they'd appointed a former appeals court judge to investigate.
Okay.
And the judge was given full access to all of their records.
And all the emojis.
Yeah. They made a statement, quote, "the process will no doubt be difficult and arduous, but this grossly unethical behavior must be eliminated from our competitions, dance schools, and governing organizations."
We got Irish dance to save
Come
people.
Come on now. This is unethical. The Irish dancing message boards were on fire, y'all.
Oh, I bet they were.
People were calling for protests at events.
Okay.
They wanted CLRG to like yank the teachers and judges that were named in the text.
Of course. Yeah, you need a whole new crop.
Yeah, they wanted them absolutely like, you're out of here.
Yeah,
you can't.
Banned from the sport. Or the whatever.
Sandra Connick, who's chairwoman of the CLRG.
Oh, Sandy Connick, yes.
Yeah, she didn't know. She said she didn't know about all the fixing. Quote, "I can honestly say I wasn't aware, but it is very disappointing. When you have something like that happen, you have to stamp it out immediately. It's not just acceptable. It won't be tolerated."
As a former two-time champion of Irish dance, I completely agree. You know,
exactly.
Just respect what
well,
we did.
Connick knows she was a dance teacher herself.
Also, when, you do have to stamp it out, once. Though. Otherwise, people go, oh, it's okay. This is just
stamp it.
Hey,
just like the dancing. She's originally from Cork, by the way.
Oh, great,
but she moved
great
to,
county.
She moved to the United States 30 years ago and then set up the dance school. So anyway, there were disciplinary hearings within the organization. 44 people were up against it. Quote, this is what Sandra said. "All 44 will have their day in court. The commission is adamant that we're going to hear each and every one of these cases, and the respondents have the right to be heard.
Sure, get them justice.
She's trying to be fair. For the dance fanatics that were found guilty, she said, quote, we're looking to punish them. If punishment is due or if there's no punishment and they're found not guilty, then just move on in the normal manner.
Now, this is not a criminal proceeding. This is just like the board of dance is doing this.
Yeah, but that, I mean, they do wind up taking it to court. So hold on. So punishments.
Yes.
Right? I have to tell you, the punishments are kind of light. Like, they're not going to get whipped with the laces of the dancing shoes.
They're not going to get beaten with the soles.
Apparently, if it's really bad, the perp has to step down from their position immediately.
On 1, 2, 3.
5, 6, 7, 8. They wouldn't be able to run for office with the CLRG.
Oh, no.
And they might get a fine.
No one's getting, like, knuckles broken?
No. For smaller offenses, they might get written up and it would go in their permanent record.
If this was ballet, there'd be corporal punishment. People would be getting hit with sticks.
No, they're just going to get a write-up. And then they go, ooh, busted.
No, you ever seen those ballet teachers? Oh, my God.
No, they're rough.
They're like nuns.
So this didn't just taint the organization's reputation.
Oh, I bet not.
Hit him in the pocketbook is what it did.
Oh, of course.
So there were like all these crazy legal costs. People were dropping out of events.
They're not going to events, yeah.
Canceling their memberships.
Sponsors.
Mm-hmm. It added up to €1 million loss for them.
Gannis is like, don't call us.
A million. They lost a million. That's like half of their membership funds. In comparison, the year before, 2021, they had a €41 surplus.
Okay.
Which, you know, it's not a whole lot, but they're, you know, doing really well before. One of the cases actually made it out of their internal investigations and was adjudicated in the high court. Amanda Hennigan, she was a judge who also runs an Irish dancing school in the UK. She took a case after she was suspended while the disciplinary hearings proceeded. And then the court lifted her suspension, but it ruled that CLRG could proceed with their hearings. And she denied that she had anything to do with it. She said, quote, no favoritism was sought or provided when she was talking about all her text messages.
Yeah.
Because she was a judge at the 2019 All-Ireland Championships.
And they equally went after teachers and judges.
Yes, both sides of it. Yes. And she had texted, appreciate anything you can do. And she was like, that's not... I'm not trying to get it fixed. I'm just appreciative. Yeah, I know. CLRG lifted everyone's suspension and said continuing to fight the legal challenges would put them in a severe financial difficulty. So it was costing them too much money. So they gave up.
We'd rather have the rumors of impropriety and corruption.
Right.
Because at least those were still a going
concern.
Now,
they did make some changes to try and eliminate funny business in the future. Just like pub trivia. Judges can't use their phones or other electronics throughout the day of judging.
Okay.
And they don't have access to competitor phone numbers until right before the competition.
Okay.
And they also changed the way that the judging works. Quote, typically at large competitions, you'll have 3 judges. We've put in 5 judges now. We drop the highest score in case someone gets a really off-the-cuff mark. We drop the lowest score in case somebody felt they were being penalized severely. We take the 3 in the middle, which gives a fairer playing field. Quote, I recognize the hurt that was caused to every teacher out there, including myself. When you send your children, they have invested so much of their time and their parents' time for them to find out this was going on. That's devastating. That's the head of the place.
Okay.
What blows me away is that this is pretty much adults using kids to fulfill their desire for competition.
Sounds like everything I know about adults.
Well, you know, it's like pageants
or
youth soccer leagues.
Youth soccer, youth football, youth baseball.
Everyone takes it too
seriously.
Youth
hockey. I can keep going.
Yeah. Let's take a break.
Okay.
I need to listen to some ads.
Yes.
And you need to answer all those texts you got from your Irish dance
instructor.
Irish relatives.
Me and Joe Biden are not looking good. They're like telling us, hey, don't call us.
We'll be back in a flash.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good, good. Getting ready to fight the real enemy over here.
Oh, look at you.
Competition.
Bring it back.
Competition. We've had cheating in competitions, you know, like stuffing a fat bear ballot box, mm-hmm. bribing a judge with, you know, saucy offers.
I cheated in Act Two. Yeah.
Exactly. But either way, people had their hand on the scale.
Sure.
The next group of no good nicks I want to tell you about did it kind of literally put their hand on the scale. I'm talking about fishing competitions.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I have a good friend who's pretty much like my brother, mm-hmm. Pappy. He's honestly the best. I love him to death.
Great nickname, Pappy.
He's my brother. Anyway, he used to do those fishing tournament things where he had to like catch one of each of these fish on a long
mm-hmm.
list.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be like down in the Gulf of California, like off the Mendocino coast, cruising around like a boat or a kayak. I don't know, checking off his catches. I loved hearing about it. It was super cool. And it was like this huge broad range. You have a friend who's really into fishing, right?
Yeah. My buddy, Chris, he is an excellent fisherman, and we used to, every morning we were house painters together, we would go and fish in creeks and everything, and we take this John boat everywhere, and he is an absolute menace on fish. Sometimes we would go and catch 30 fish. We go into a hole, and I don't know why. I don't fish so well with other people, but he is a beast. He's Serbian. They're really good fishermen, right?
Yeah.
So traditionally, a lot of culture, a lot of rivers, a lot of fishermen. So he taught me a ton about how to fish out here because I know deep sea fishing and East Coast fishing.
Yeah.
I didn't know the lakes and rivers you're used to.
Well, that's the thing is that that's what I'm going to be talking about is like when you're pulling just a ton of fish out of a mm-hmm. lake or a river, these fishing tournaments, right? You got your like glistening rods, mm-hmm. tight reels, fancy boats, Yeti coolers
yes.
everywhere.
He does this up on Eagle Lake where they have people go out there and like they're waiting at whatever, like 4:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
They sound an announcement and everyone goes tearing off to get to their hole.
Well, they want to do it because they're like high dollar payouts.
Totally.
They can make a lot of money.
It's like golf. You can make cash.
Anywhere you have fancy boats, Yeti coolers, and high dollar payouts. Yes. You can have criminals.
And me, you.
And you, and me, and Chris. And so flim flammers at fishing tournaments have been a problem for a while.
Okay, I bet, yeah.
Tournament cheating was rampant in local tournaments for just years. In the 60s, there was a guy named Ray Scott, and he came up with the bass tournament circuit.
Okay.
And he figured that, like, all the trickery would be discouraged if they charged huge entry fees that only serious professionals could afford.
Oh, interesting.
It didn't help.
That's not going to work.
No, cheaters find a way.
They could then collaborate their money and go, we'll get one cheater in there.
Well, and if it's worth it, the stakes anyway. So there was Elro McNeil. In 1983, he tried to rig a fishing tournament in Texas. Mm-hmm. And he had a pretty good con. He went to Florida and he bought an enormous black bass.
Okay.
Just massive. And he had this aerated water tank fitted into his truck. And then he drove the fish to his house in Louisiana.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. He picks up his co-conspirator, his buddy, this angler named Terry Isom. Mm-hmm. Terry gets in the truck.
Like Terryism? Like it's a religion? Like, I'm a practitioner of Terryism?
Isom. Terry Isom.
Oh, Isom, yeah.
Isom. We'll call it. So Terry. Mm-hmm. Terry, he had signed up to be in the Roadrunner Bass Tournament in Tyler, Texas.
Oh, Tyler, Texas.
Yeah.
Hell
so
yeah.
He and Terry and Elro, they're in the truck with the tank in the back with a fish bobbing around in it. They get to the tournament. Uh-huh. Terry's out there, look at this thing. And he he stuck a hook into it and then, oh my gosh, you guys.
Look what I caught.
And, they made a ton of money. So Elro and all his buddies, they're honing this con. They do it over and over and over
again. Are you kidding me?
They did it way more than once and they make a ton of money. He was able to scam $350,000 from the Texas Bass tournament circuit.
Damn.
Right? The judges got wise to him, though.
Oh, I bet eventually.
And they eventually called someone in to analyze the fish, and they're like, this is not local. This is not a local species. This is like Nemo. Get this out of here.
This is a European fish.
Totally. So in 1985, he and three anglers, they got fines and 5-year prison sentences.
Oh, prison sentences.
They pled guilty.
Oh, yeah, of course. $350,000 fraud, yeah.
Isom, Terry, he's the government star witness, which got him a lighter sentence. And a lesser charge.
Okay, he went snitch?
Yeah, he snitched. But this isn't just an American problem.
No, I bet not.
Romania's national carp fishing team, yes. They were as crooked as they come.
My husband, he's on the Romanian national carp fishing team. He's a star.
They cheated their way to a win at the 14th World Carp Angling Championships in 2012. That was on their home waters.
Oh, really?
So it was held in Romania.
Okay.
The England national team thought something was fishy. So they lodged a formal complaint against the host Romanians.
Okay.
Because it turns out that, like, for months, the Romanians had been going down to, like, where they were going to go fishing and feeding the carp, like, a special local bait that would give them an advantage during the tournament.
Oh, my God, that's brilliant.
And so they're just this is the bait they're going to use.
I'm sorry, that's
they're
brilliant.
Fattening them up, and they're, like, creating a preference in the fish for their special bait.
They're little, like freaky fish treats.
And
like,
and the Brits use, like, a slurry of flour, egg, and dog
and
food
beans
kibble.
On toast.
Well, no, it's like, this is, the English carp respond to flour, egg, and dog food kibble. It's, insert English cuisine joke
yeah,
here.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Romanian carp, they're like, not about this. Like, we have been eating delicacies, and you want to give us this garbage? Whereas, like, a year ago, they would have been like, sounds good to me. Keep spooning, Pops. So that kind of baiting, it's not illegal, but it's unsportsmanlike.
That's not illegal to prime the fish?
Apparently not.
Okay. I guess the judge didn't think of it.
Ian Huntington, team manager of the England carp team, he said their defeat was tough bait to swallow.
Oh, my goodness.
So, quote, hard lessons have been learned, and it has been a very difficult experience to pick the team and ourselves up after this event. It is obvious that any team fishing with the particular type of bait would do well, and the rest would really struggle to get a bite. Within 2 hours of the match starting, we were asking ourselves questions about the bait.
I understand that his team floundered, but is he going to keep carping about this?
Ooh. yes. Yes.
That was for you. That was a double.
So good. I felt that through my whole body. It was so good. So Romania, they take first place in both team and individual categories. Uh-huh. The Bulgarian, Siberian, and Portuguese teams,
yes.
They were practicing at the same lake as the Romanians, and they saw them in the lead up to it. They're like, what you fishing with? And they're like, maybe a little bit of this. So they started using that same bait, and that's why they came in second, third, and fourth, right behind Romania. England came in 18th.
Was this just a get England thing?
I think it's it wasn't just England that blew
it. I know,
it.
But still.
South Africa and France came up empty, too.
Okay.
How much fish did the Romanian team yank from the water in order to win the gold?
How much, Elizabeth?
One report said 1.7 tons of fish.
Oh, damn. That's a lot of scales.
They're just laying waste to, I don't know.
Damn.
Speaking of England, they had a bass switcheroo, kind of like the one in Texas.
Not a bass switcheroo.
Yeah. Matthew Clark won Guernsey's 2012 Balwick Bass Club tournament.
Okay.
He pulled in a 13-pound, 13-ounce bass.
Damn. That's a big fish.
Yeah. It was 3 pounds bigger than the second-place fish.
Okay.
And, you know, it's usually like a game of ounces.
Yeah, exactly.
Like three pounds different.
Is ridiculous.
So the winner was announced, and then Clark and the second-place fisherman, Shane Bentley, they posed for photos with their fish, you know, like when they're holding up the line.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Or like, you know how sometimes they cradle it in front of them like they just caught a newly birthed baby? Like, congratulations! Okay, so...
Now my friend Chris posted those pictures on Instagram.
Yeah, where they're just gently cradling.
Cradling the baby fish.
Right, so...
Baby slash fish.
Bentley, the second place, he looks over at Clark's fish and he realizes, I've seen that before. But where? I can't...
The fish?
Yeah, I've seen... I know that fish.
I know that fish?
I know him. Where do I know him from?
Wait, what?
He recognized him from the local St. Peter Port Aquarium.
Oh, my God. He recognized a fish from an aquarium?
He said... He tells the Express newspaper, quote, it stood out because it had very distinct markings on its head. When the bass was lifted out of the tank for the photo, I thought... That's the fish from the aquarium. The next morning, I went to the aquarium. I looked in the tank, but I couldn't see the fish. Then the woman looked, and she couldn't find the fish.
I love this super fish nerd.
So Clark scaled a cliff, the winner, scaled a cliff, climbed a rope ladder, and broke into the aquarium.
Mm-hmm.
And he told police that he was going to return the fish after the contest, but he dropped and injured it as he made his getaway. Quote, he took it to a fish seller who didn't realize it was stolen and chopped it up, an aquarium spokesperson told the Express. All we got back was the head and tail. You know I love animals more than anything, but for some reason this is absolutely hysterical to me. So he got sentenced to 100 hours of community service for that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And then... That brings us to the most infamous of fishing scandals.
Okay.
You know, like the Irish dancing hullabaloo, this one went down in 2022.
Mm-hmm. Big year for scandals.
It's sort of what kicked off this whole episode idea.
Okay.
Because we got a lot of recommendations for it. And I remember when I first saw the clip, I was like, oh, I got to do show on this. So Jacob Runyon, age 43, and Chase Kaminsky, age 36.
All right.
Two grown men who should know better.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I recognize this tone.
So the Lake Erie Walleye Trail tournament in Cleveland is high stakes.
Oh, yeah. Walleye, big.
$30,000 on the line, Zarin.
Oh, yeah.
It draws dozens of teams, big sponsors, and you can win not just cash, but like super snazzy fishing boats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kind with like the glitter paint.
Yes, I know the kind.
So since this is fishing and there's a lot of money on the line, the organizers routinely subject winners to polygraph tests.
Wait,
do you remember Erlo McNeil, right? The Texas guy?
Yes. My man Erlo.
He and his crew used to get around those polygraph tests by taking Quaaludes.
What?
Yeah.
Where are they finding Quaaludes?
Well, it was back in the day.
Oh, of course.
It was
in
the 80s, yeah.
Yes, they've still had
Runyon and Kaminsky, you know, they had a bang up 2021 season.
And they're using like GHB to beat the test?
Well, there's no Quaaludes anymore. So
I know. That's
but
why
they 2021, they won more than $300,000 that year in
that's
prizes.
Impressive.
Yeah. And they also lost some of that money when one of them failed a tournament's polygraph test.
Oh.
Should have stockpiled ludes. So.
Beta blockers.
Oh, God, I love beta blockers. So they signed up for the tournament and they went out to catch the heaviest walleye in Lake Erie.
Okay.
And it seemed like they did.
Huh.
They pulled out four whoppers and they took the day. There is a viral video of the event, and it is amazing.
Oh, of course.
And since I can't show it here, Zarin, I invite you to close your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to picture it.
Eyes closed.
It's September 30th, 2022. The Ridiculous Crime Antarctica episode dropped yesterday, and let me tell you, you loved it. Who are you? Your name is Braden Lee Ryder. That's all one word. Spider-Man. You're a fictional attendee of the Lake Erie Walleye Trail Tournament. You aren't a fisherman. You just like their fashion and the smell of fish. So there you are on the shore of the lake with scores of other fish fiends, all eager to take a look at the winning catches. You heard they're enormous. God, what a time to be alive. As men murmur and mumble around you, you watch Jacob Runyon and Chase Comiskey strut to the stage and accept their places first. Top dogs. Big fish. Everyone hates them. They hoist two heavy walleye into the air, their Oakley Blade sunglasses reflecting the cloudy sky, their Under Armour hoodies emblazoned with a mishmash of sponsor logos and the word Runyon Ranger on the back. This is their moment. And then the tournament director, Jason Fisher, I mean, are you kidding me? That is his real last name.
Jason of the Argonauts and the Fisher.
Jason Fisher makes his move.
Yes.
Runyon and Comiskey, they put their catch into a milk crate. Fisher walks over, takes the crate away. He walks to the side of the stage and sets the crate on the ground. After conferring with an associate, he lifts one of the fish from the crate and sets it on the asphalt. Runyon stands by, stone-faced, as Fisher takes a knife from his pocket. The crowd grows silent. Fisher stabs his blade into the side of the fish and draws it upward, from the tail to the glassy dead eyes. He reaches into the guts of the walleye and pulls something out. It's a lead weight the size of a ping pong ball. The crowd erupts.
We got weights and fish!
There we go!
There is shouting. For a freshwater sport, they sure are using salty language, Zarin. Runyon stands there silent, staring as Fisher continues to slice open the winning catches, pulling out more weights and even fish fillets. A fillet of fish, someone yells.
Inside of a fish.
Yeah. He's like, just each fish, tons of weights coming out of it and fish fillets. They shoved extra fish into the fish to win a boat. Call the cops, one guy yells. He needs to go to jail. The man standing next to you holding his phone and recording the whole thing asks the question on everyone's minds. You got anything to say? Runyon does not. So the five weighted fish were confiscated. Runyon and his pal get kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just standing there the whole time.
On
just
camera.
Just taking it as everyone's yelling at him and swearing. And it's just like going nuts.
He's like on a dock, right? Or like a kind of landing, boat landing.
Yeah, exactly. And so, by the way, if you want to watch the video, search Walleye Tournament Cheaters on YouTube. And there's one posted by NEO Outdoors it's raw tape.
Okay.
They don't even bleep out all the bad words. Yeah. It's heavy. So a grand jury indicted the two on charges of cheating, attempted grand theft, and possessing criminal tools. And the charges are fifth degree felonies.
Damn.
Quote, I take all crime very seriously, and I believe what these two individuals attempted to do was not only dishonorable, but also criminal, prosecutor Michael C. O'Malley chimed in. The dudes also faced a misdemeanor count of unlawful ownership of wild animals, and that's related to the raw fish fillets that they allegedly had on their boat to shove into the fish they caught. They pleaded guilty to cheating and unlawful ownership of wild animals.
Okay.
They were sentenced to 10 days in jail and a year and a half probation, and they each also had to pay a $2,500 fine.
Damn.
Both men had their fishing licenses suspended for 3 years. Yeah. Maximum penalty allowed by law.
Mm-hmm.
Comiskey was also required to forfeit his boat worth $130,000.
Oh.
Michael O'Malley, the prosecutor, said that the duo, quote, deserve to have their fishing license suspended for life. These two should be banned from every fishing tournament for life. They are thieves, and now they are convicted felons.
Say it,
Zarin, what is your ridiculous takeaway?
Oh, man. I would have tried, and I have to admit this, to pull off the answer of, I don't know what these fish have been eating. And I would have tried for a long time to say that. And they would have been filming it.
Cannibals.
I would have regretted it later on, but I would have tried it.
I think that's amazing, and I think they should have done
What's
that.
What's your ridiculous takeaway, Elizabeth? See how I just slid that right
in
there.
That was really
right?
Good. Nice. My ridiculous takeaway is everyone should try their hardest to not be competitive.
Oh.
that's my takeaway.
Not be competitive.
Don't be competitive.
I'm going to be less competitive than you are.
I'm more talking to myself.
I bet I can be less competitive than you.
I could be way more, less competitive.
Producer Dave, take note of this.
I'm the winner.
I'd like you to mark that I can be less competitive.
That's all I have for today. You can find us online at ridiculouscrime.com. We're also at ridiculouscrime on both Twitter and Instagram. You can email ridiculouscrime@gmail.com and no one will answer you. Leave us a talk back on the iHeart app. Reach out, baby. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by Angler Dangler, Dave Kustin. Research is by Cutthroat Square Dancer, Marissa Brown, and Big Mouth Bass Resistance Leader, Andrea Song Charpentier. The theme song is by Bear 732 Thomas Lee and Bear 510 Travis Dutton. Host wardrobe is provided by Botany 500. Executive producers are Ben, we got a live one, Bolin, and Noel, how is your catch already battered and fried, Brown?
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.